So I wonder who you consider made the greatest speech ever. You can go on the slide, please. Maybe Nelson Mandela in his inauguration speech, and he was something else, wasn't he? Just his whole character and what he did. Maybe Martin Luther King Jr., that's a pivotal. Do you know what? He hesitated in giving that speech. He wasn't going to give it. He lost his nerve, and there was a lady behind him, hardly known, this is not known, and she just said, "Go on, talk about the dream. Tell them your dream." And that launched him into it. Incredible story. Or maybe Winston Churchill, one of his many speeches, "We'll fight them on the beaches." Kind of defined a nation. Maybe JF Kennedy on the space race, and that kind of launched something of the nation. Maybe Obama, when he ran for president, and he says, "We can change." He found it harder than he thought, but he came up with that idea. And with whatever you kind of think of those speeches, or maybe there's another speech. So some people say that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is pivotal. Not quite a speech in that technical sense, but maybe something in that you really like. What is common in all those speeches is that people are speaking out of their heart, out of their vision, out of their values. And I think that's one of the reasons why those speeches are memorable. I think that's one of the reasons why they connect with us. They do resonate with us deeply. That's why we remember them. Even if we don't agree with what the person was actually saying, there's something about that passion, isn't there? There's something about that vision and values. And why is that important for us? Well, the Bible gives us a little bit of an insight in Proverbs 29, verse 18, when it says, "Where there is no vision, people perish." And I've met so many people who drift through their life, and they've no vision for their life, they've no vision for their future, and they just drift. And it just seems as if maybe they're not perishing on the outside, but on the inside, there's nothing to motivate them. There's nothing to propel them forward. But actually, another translation of that verse could say this, and I believe this is insightful. He says, "Where there is no progressive revelation, the people cast off restraint." Where there's no progressive revelation, the people cast off restraint. You see, if there isn't that unfolding in your life, if there isn't that sense of hope, if there isn't that sense of future, you give up. And what happens when you give up? You say, "What's the point? Everyone else is doing it. I might as well just do it. I'm not going to try and live a good life. I'm not going to try and live a righteous life. I'm going to get all the loo rolls I can get." Remember those days? "I'm going to stock up." And that's what people do, isn't it? Because there's no progressive revelation. There's no understanding that actually we are made with an eternal perspective. We are made for God, and there is a future, and God wants us to move on. So today I want to share with you some of the values and the vision that we as a church are seeking to build on, that are kind of defining points for my leadership of the church. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to something. And I'll explain that at the end, and it'll be really relevant to where you are. So let's talk a little bit about the values. Let's talk about the why of my leadership. And the first one for me is that sense of encountering the Holy Spirit. You see, we are a Pentecostal church. We love Baptists. Can't eat a whole one. We love Baptists. We love Anglicans. We love all expressions of the church. But we are a Pentecostal church. That means that when we read things like 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, we actually believe that. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God the Holy Spirit wants us to encounter Him. That out of that sense of desperation, out of that sense of need, out of that sense of awareness, that God wants to work in our life. It's not just something at the end of the service, like in a creed, "And we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit." The end. No, we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit, and I am committed to actively pursuing the work of the God. See, the difference is there are some churches that will talk about the Holy Spirit and be passively open. But you know what? I'm pursuing the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the difference. We need to pursue the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because I tell you, if you're looking to me to give you hope, you're in trouble. If you're looking to the leaders, you're in trouble. If you're looking to the church, Psalm 42 and 43, the psalmist says, when my soul was downcast, he's talking to himself, he says, put your hope in God. That's your hope. It's not the church, it's not me. We'll help as much as we can, but ultimately your hope has to be in God. And part of that work is through God, the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, are you not just passively open to the Holy Spirit? Are you actively pursuing the work of the Holy Spirit? See, in Acts chapter 10, we read it last week, and if you haven't seen this stream, I encourage you to go back. I read it in the Message version, which says that Jesus was equipped or anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And one phrase that we talked about last week was that the Holy Spirit makes us ready for action. He makes us ready for action. The Holy Spirit doesn't equip us to be passive. He equips us to be ready for action. And if you're not ready for action, one of the first questions you have to ask yourself, am I pursuing the work of the Holy Spirit in my life? We need to be doing that, and it's one of the reasons I exist. There's lots of areas where, do you know what? We can disagree. Exactly when Jesus is coming back, there's lots of opinions. Lots of Christians, godly Christians, have different opinions. Styles of church government, there's lots of opinions and lots of room in Scripture for different opinions. But for me personally, you can't negotiate about the work of the Holy Spirit, because without Him, we have nothing, we are nothing, we can do nothing. So that's one of the ways that I'm leading the church by. The second, the why of my leadership is operating in grace. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Some of the most pivotal verses. And I'm reading from the NIV today, which is, we all know Margaret, is the Northern Ireland version. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in sin. It is by grace that you have been saved. Verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We believe that we enter a relationship with God by His grace. It's not our religion. It's not us coming to God and saying, God, look at all these works of charities I do. Look at all these old people I've helped across the road. Because some of you are in trouble because you're getting to the age where you're helping people of your age across the road. Not looking at anyone in. We need grace in our life. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus has done. And some of you may have been in church all your life, and you think it's about the church. It's not. It's about what Jesus has done and your response to Him. That's how you get to heaven. That's how you experience God's power. But us, as a church, we want to be a grace-filled church that welcomes people whatever stage of their journey they're at. Do you know what? We have good news for you today. You don't have to be perfect to be in church. Because I would be first out the door if that was the case. We're not perfect people. We need grace to begin the Christian journey, but we also need grace to continue. And we need grace for one another in what is a divisive time, to wear or not to wear, to rephrase Shakespeare, Anthony. You know, people have been divided over this, and you think, why? Can we not have grace for one another? It's a secondary issue, isn't it? It's not the main message of the New Testament. Romans 14 and 15 says, listen, leave that person to make up their own decision on disputable matters. Whether that style of dress, do you like the fact that Ian and I are coordinated today? He rings me up and says on Sunday morning, what are you going like today? He said, Ian, whatever we were, I'll still have more hair. So, just, Don't compete. Don't compete. We need grace for one another because we are imperfect people. I want to say, if you have not begun the journey yet, there's grace for you. There's grace for you. You don't have to clean up your act in order to come to God. God accepts you as you are. But here's the truth. God loves you as you are, but He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He loves you as you are, but He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So am I a gracious person that's willing to accept others, even if they have different opinions? Even if they have different lifestyle, different way of doing things? See, we believe the fundamentals of the New Testament. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe He died for our sins. We believe He rose again. We believe one day He's coming back. We believe all those things that are historical in the Christian faith. But there's other stuff that we can say, well, you have a different opinion, and that's okay. We will not be judgmental or legalistic on the secondary issues of the Christian faith. Is that okay? I want you to know that. That's not how I lead. We are building a culture of grace. Now, grace doesn't mean to say you can do what you want. It doesn't mean to say it's a license. Oh, yeah, I can do what I want. Because the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So the grace of God actually means we should be seeking to get closer to God. It's not a license to do as you want, but the opportunity to do what you should. Grace says you don't have to be good enough because Jesus was perfect. Grace says you've not gone too far and can come back home. Grace says you're not what you did on your worst day. Grace says you have power over sin. Grace says it's not too late to step into what God has for you. Grace says you're not what other people label you to be. Amen? Grace says you cannot out-sin the price that Jesus paid for you. If we have committed our life to Him, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we belong to Him. He paid a price for us, and the price was His precious blood. The why of my leadership is transforming teaching. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and just want to read one verse. So often people come and say, well, I've always been like this. I can't change. You know, my father was like this. My parents were like this. My family was like this. I'm like this because blah, blah, blah. Fill in the blanks. But the heart of the gospel is change. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. Therefore, we can change. And not only that, the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pick up 2 Corinthians 3. I'll pick up at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Many people have read that to mean, oh, we've had a really good service today, and the worship was really expressive and free. It's not. Look at what it says next. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit's important. That's why I believe in it. But it's not some vague, nebulous thing. It's to bring transformation in our life. It's to bring change, because that's the heart of the gospel. So we can change. The habits that you think have kept you in bondage, you can be free. See, I believe in my leadership and as a church, if you're going to stick around, you're not going to be able to pretend for very long, all right? If you've been around the church for any length of time, you know that my preaching is honest, it's direct, it's calling for life change. Because I'm preaching for transformation, not simply information. Now, I hope there's some information along the way, but truthfully, transformation doesn't come simply by information. Because you know lots of stuff that you don't do. You know you shouldn't have that second jammy dodger. You know, no, I'm not going to go there. No. I'm tempted to say something about the ladies' cream tea, but that. No. Get behind me, Satan. We know more stuff than we do, yes? Is that correct? So it's not information that brings the transformation. Here's what it is. Information and application that brings transformation. You see, we all know soap is great, or shower gel is great. But until you apply it, you're not going to smell very fresh, are you, mate? Until you apply it to your life, it won't make any difference. And folks, that's true of the teaching you hear week in, week out here. You can go home and say, oh, that was great. David was funny today. I liked that graphic or whatever. You know, the worship was great. It will not make a difference in your life until you apply it to your life. And I can't do that for you. But I do believe in teaching that transforms. For most of us, we don't need more information. For most of us, we need to do what we already know. Isn't that true? Some of you are being honest this morning. We need to do what we already know. And one of the things I want to encourage you with is in terms of leadership. Now, I know some of you have come from other churches where leadership has not been a positive thing for you. Where maybe you've been hurt by leadership, or maybe you've been misunderstood, maybe you've been sidelined. We understand that. And one of the things that I say repeatedly is, I'm not perfect, so I will disappoint you at some point if I haven't already. I will get things wrong. I will make mistakes. But my heart is for you to grow. My heart is for you to experience more of God. My heart is for transformation in your life if you will allow it to happen. One of the most misunderstood verses in the New Testament is Hebrews 13, verse 17. I want you to turn there for a moment. And I want you to hear. I want to be as nice as I can in this verse, Margaret, okay? Yeah. I'm going to try and be really gentle, but I want you to be clear about what I'm saying. Hebrews 13, 17, this version, the NIV says this. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And the ouch word in that verse is submit. Because we don't like to do that, do we? We don't like to submit. But the Bible talks about submitting to your leaders. It talks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I know some leaders have used that to dominate. I know some leaders have used that to manipulate. And I know some leaders have used that to keep people down. But that's not what this verse is saying. All right? The word means this. It means to be open to persuasion and be responsive to. Isn't that a great idea? Isn't that a great concept? So it's not yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, because you're the pastor, sir. It's saying, do you know what? I recognize, David, that one day you're going to have to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account for how you've led me. So do you know what? I'm not going to make it difficult for you. I'm going to be responsive. I'm going to be open when you come and when you teach me. I'm going to be open when you come and when you correct me. I'm going to be open when you come and when you rebuke me. Because the Bible says that I have the authority to teach and rebuke with all authority. And sometimes we have to encourage. Sometimes we have to correct. Sometimes we have to rebuke. All of those things are in the Bible. But it's not about demanding. It's not about domination. It's not about manipulation. It's about saying to you, will you be open and responsive? And folks, I have to say this with all honesty and with integrity. If you can't submit to my leadership and the leadership of the church, if you can't be open and responsive, go somewhere else. Because you're not going to help me and you're not going to help yourself. Honestly, if you can't do it, you're only going to cause problems for yourself. But if you do go somewhere else because you can't submit, guess what's going to happen? Sandy's laughing because she knows it's true. You're not going to be able to submit there either. So you're just going to go round that vicious circle of not being able to be responsive and open to leadership. Because it's never about the leader, is it? It's about our heart and our attitude and our responsiveness and our willingness. So honestly, I'm giving you a get-out clause this morning. Because when we come back in September, we're going to up the ante. Because we want this church to thrive, don't we? We want this church to do well. And we need people to be serving, like we said last week. We need people to be getting involved. We need people to be taking responsibility for stuff. So in September, if you're still around, I'm assuming you're saying, I'm up for this. So you have a get-out clause now. May's laughing. You don't have a get-out clause, May. We've already spoken. Africans don't have a get-out clause. You know. But truthfully, folks, I joke about that. But please hear my heart in this. If you're going to thrive in this church, if you're going to do well, you're going to have to submit in the biblical sense. You understand that? Not in a demanding, legalistic, manipulative way, but in a biblical way that says, you know what? When David comes and asks me to serve, I'm going to be responsive. When David asks me to get involved, I'm going to be responsive. When David comes and says, you know what? I think you need to work on this in your life. I'm going to be open to that. I'm going to do what it takes to get to that place. So folks, that's all I have to offer you in that sense. So if you're staying around, this is who I am. This is what it means to be part of new life. You've gone quiet on me. The why of my leadership is motivating mission. See, I believe in mission. I believe that God wants us to reach our neighbors and the nations. I believe God wants us to reach beyond ourselves. Because he said, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey. See, God isn't interested in simply a decision that you make where you raise a hand. God is interested in disciples, whole life disciples. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's more than an hour of Sunday morning. That's more of the attitude, well, what can I do to keep God happy? You can't live a devoted life like that. You can't live as a follower of Jesus saying, what's the minimum I can do to keep him happy? That doesn't work. If we're going to reach this world for Jesus, if we're going to do what God has placed on our lives to do, then we need to be making disciples who follow Christ. Am I willing to reach out to my network, to my neighbors, to the nations? The why of my leadership is engaging worship. John 4:24, there was a debate on worship with one lady. And she was trying to get a little bit of a smoke screen. Well, I don't like the Jewish style of worship. And Jesus said, Mrs., this is my paraphrase, Grace. Mrs., you're making a mistake. It's not about the style. It's not about the geography. Those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers God is looking for. So you see, God is looking for us to engage in worship. We say it to the worship team, and the guys know this. We obviously plan, we obviously pray, we obviously have a program. But if God is doing something, then the song list and the program goes out the window. And they know that. They know that whatever God's doing, we're following that agenda. It's not a script. It's not ticking off a list. It's not we have to do this next. It's we are going to be open to God the Holy Spirit, and we're going to follow His leading. If that means we don't have a sermon, some of you were tempted to cheer there. I saw it in your face. But there have been times where I've said, you know what? God's already spoken. I don't need to preach. Some of you have cheered when I've done that. At other times, we've had one song and then straight into the preach because we needed to respond after that. We don't have that set pattern. We are flexible and open because we need to worship and encounter God. We're a Pentecostal church, and our theology of worship is encounter. Sometimes that will come through the things that we sing. Sometimes it will come through the word. Sometimes it will come through a prayer. Sometimes it will come through a gift. Sometimes it will come through a hug or a conversation in the welcome time. Whatever way that comes, we want worship to be engaging. So if you do hang around and commit to the life of the fellowship, our worship this morning was pretty much our style of worship, what we like. This is us. This is what we do. This is what we want to do. Again, I want to say this with honesty and with grace. If it isn't you, then there are plenty of other churches that will have different styles. Don't place a burden on yourself and don't place a restriction on us. This is what we stand for. This is who we are. Is that all right? Amen. Thank you. So quickly, I'm going to talk just about the vision. The vision is on the wall. You can see it at the back. We're here to bring the good news of new life in Jesus. That's why we work locally with organizations like the Lighthouse to be in schools. It's why we work with Christians against poverty to bring hope to those in debt. It's why we are involved with the Rivers Project and we've given out food and we continue to do that. It's why we continue to work in places like Macedonia and India. So all the donations that were given for the cream tea event yesterday, all of that will go towards the money that Michelle continues to raise for the project, one of the projects in India that we're involved with. That's why we're involved in Pakistan. That's why we're involved in Kenya. That's why, God willing, COVID permitting and all the rules and regulations about flights, that's why, God willing, I'll be in Nigeria at the end of September. I believe in this stuff. I believe that we're here to bring the good news of Jesus. That's all our responsibilities, not just for a Sunday. We're also here to represent Jesus by being an ark and a refuge. See, people need a sense of refuge today, don't they? We need that sense of hope. I read from the big issue yesterday that I bought that in this country currently, every 3.5 hours, a home is being repossessed. Some of us will remember times where that was a massive issue in our country and homes are repossessed. And we're getting back to the stage where it's difficult for people, where people may continue to lose their jobs. But we can be an ark and a refuge for people. We can be a place that offers hope and help and practical skills. We want to be those people, don't we? That's why grace is so important. Because if we come in and say, well, it's your fault, and point the finger, guess what? People won't be interested because they know when they've made mistakes. We know when we've made mistakes, don't we? We understand what guilt is. So we're not here to put guilt on people. We're here to be a refuge for people. Number of times in the Old Testament, it talks about cities of refuge, where people who have made mistakes, even murdered people, manslaughtered by mistake, could go and find refuge. I want this to be a church that's a refuge. The people know they can go and find practical, emotional, and spiritual help. We want to be that, don't we? Whether that's through Little Stars, Carrie will tell you the conversations she's had with mom after mom, desperate to come back to Little Stars, desperate for the help, desperate to just be involved because they felt they were drowning in despair, isolated, alone, not able to talk. Whether that's through the pastoral care group that Liz is doing some training on, and after the summer we'll roll that out a bit more. Whether that's through food distribution that we continue to do. Whether that's through the Consigui Hope, the mental health course that we've done and will, God willing, do again. All of these things are practical. And truthfully, they need you to be involved. They need you to be serving in. They need you to offer your skills and experience and ability. And here's the final one. To make disciples who wholeheartedly serve Jesus. Hannah used the word in her prayer this morning. The passion is here. She sensed it. She's seen it. And it's one of the things, Hannah, that I believe in preaching. If you know, if you hear me, I believe in passionately communicating this stuff because Jesus wants us to wholeheartedly serve him. He wants us to be passionate. This is the most important thing. This is more than a job. Because I can assure you, I ain't getting that well paid. It's not a complaint. The leaders know. This is not about income. This is not about money. This is about eternity. This is about a passion for what God wants to do. It's one of the reasons why we're doing the summer stream. It's one of the reasons why come Tuesday, we'll say a little bit more about that in a minute, but Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, and then at 4 o'clock, we'll be doing the online stream. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to film. It's a lot of work to edit. It's a lot of work to get online. I think the next slide, Philip, if you haven't gone to sleep. So beginning this Tuesday, we're beginning that for the kids, for the younger kids, preschool and Key Stage 1. And then in the afternoon on the website, it will be embedded and you'll be able to get it. If you don't know what I'm talking about or if you're not sure, then talk to me afterwards. We can give you the links. Get on the Signal app that we use. That's the easiest way to get all the information quickly. And we can talk to you about that. It's one of the reasons why Kerry's doing the Reflections on Ruth beginning this Friday. And you can do that online as well. Kerry will be doing that in person at 3 o'clock here. But we have an app that you can do that online. Follow the studies. If you can't make those, that's fine. That's why next week we're dedicating Milani, because we believe that children matter to God as well. We believe that children can be engaged, that they can be hearing this message, that they can encounter the Holy Spirit, that they can become disciples of Christ and follow and love God too. Whatever age, people can encounter God. It's why we do the healing prayer ministry every week, and we'll do it again this week. We offer that to people because we believe God wants us with our whole hearts to serve him and to love him. And as a pastor, I want any baggage that's in your life to be removed. Any obstacles, any stone. And if that means I stay here to 3 o'clock every Sunday, that's fine. We want to pray. That's what we believe. That's why last week we talked about the gifts material. That's why we talk about you being involved. That's why we talk about service, because that's how you grow. That's why after the summer we'll be doing some stuff on freedom in Christ, what it means, who we are in Christ, how we grow, how we get rid of some of those obstacles, what it means to be people who live in the light, because that's what Ephesians 5 say. You're children of light, so walk in the light, live in the light. After the summer, we're going to talk about that. But here's the rubber. This is my verse that I came to faith. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the decision I made over 30 years ago. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What's your decision? What's your decision going to be today? For some of you, you might need to take over the summer to decide, you know what? New Life is going to be my church. I'm going to commit to New Life. I'm going to commit to the leadership. I'm going to do exactly what's needed because I believe this is the right place for me. This is my spiritual home. You may need to take over the summer to do that. You may be ready to do that today. Talk to us. Let's have an honest conversation about that. Let's talk about what it means. But there's several other commitments we can start. For some of you, you may need to make a commitment today to be a follower of Jesus. See, if you listen to me, I very rarely talk about being a Christian because it's such a nebulous term. People can think, well, we live in a Christian country. I'm a Christian. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple? That's the key. And if you're not, you can put that right today. Maybe that's your first commitment, to be a follower of Jesus, because it's about relationship, not religion. It's about what Jesus has done, not what we do. For some of you, it may be a commitment to baptism by immersion. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be dunking a couple of people, including Oscar. God has been speaking to him a long time about it, and I just gave a nudge. A nudge with a small truck, but a nudge nonetheless. So in 2 weeks' time, we will be having a baptism service. If you haven't been baptized by immersion, then come and talk to us. For some of you, you need to commit to emotional and spiritual health. Maybe honestly, you're hurt. Maybe honestly, you have baggage. Maybe honestly, there's stuff in your life you say, I'm not going to serve because of this and this and this. We can deal with it. Honestly, we can. There's nothing in your life that God can't deal with if you're open and responsive. We want you to get healed up. We want you to be whole. We want you to be in that right place so that you can be effective for the kingdom of God. We want a commitment to progress. That's the word over the whole church this year. We're going to progress. But that requires a commitment to progress. And so for some of you, maybe some of you listening online, that means moving from being a guest to being a regular attender. And for some of you, that's the commitment you need to make. And that's okay if that's where you are, because we're a church of grace. But make that commitment. Make the commitment to move beyond the casual to the regular. Some of you are regular attenders, and what you need to move from is being a regular attender to being a partner who makes a significant contribution into the life of the church. That's the commitment you need to make. And as I said last week, that will involve two things. That will involve you giving, because it's a spiritual principle. It just is. It will involve you giving, and it will involve you serving. That's what it means to be a partner. See, people use this term, oh, I'm a member of so-and-so's church, but never go. It's like being a member of a gym in January. That happens, doesn't it? And you never actually go. You're not a member. You're just giving them your money. We don't want members. We want partners. Because Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, you were part in partnership with me in the gospel. So we need to move from being a guest to a regular, from regular to a partner. Some of you need to make that step today. Some of you will need to commit to regular systematic giving. Look at stuff like 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about giving cheerfully, systematically, regularly, prayerfully, all sacrificially, all of those things. Listen, folks, we don't beat people up about giving. But just let's talk honestly. The ministry of the kingdom of God cannot function unless people give. Even with Jesus, there were people who followed Jesus who gave so that he could do the work of ministry. It's the only way we can do the ministry of God, and it counts for eternity. We're not going to beat you up on that, and ultimately, you will have to give an account to God for that. I won't be there when you do that. You will have to give an account. If you want to talk about that, again, we can have a conversation about that. If you're not currently giving, can I just say very practically, start somewhere. Start somewhere. For those of you who are giving some, maybe you need to get to the point where you say, I'm going to tithe. It doesn't make sense financially, but I'm going to tithe because I'm trusting God. Because that's what it boils down to, doesn't it, May? It boils down to trust. John Wesley said the last thing to be converted was the wallet. It's true. Because we can, you know, be in church going, oh, I love this. I love Amelia leading worship. We can do all that. And we can fake it, can't we? Nick, we've had this conversation. You've been around church a long time. And Nick said to me, he got to the stage, he knew how to fake it. He knew how to play the game of church. And you can do that. You can put on the smile, you can wave the hands, but you can't fake serving and giving. And God knows. And we're not beating you up over this, but is it okay to have this honest conversation, May? May says it's okay. Grace, is it okay? We need to give. We need to serve. For some of you, it's a commitment to something else. Maybe the Holy Spirit will prompt you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you as you're here today. And what we've done is at the back, there's little slips of paper. And on that slip of paper, it says, today, I've committed to take the next step by blank, blank, blank. And so because I'm preaching for transformation, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. If you're ready to do something today, take the step of faith. You can sign your name if you want. You don't have to. It can be completely anonymous because you're doing it before God. But I'm asking you, I'm asking all of you, even the kids, take a step of faith today. Take a step of commitment. Whatever the next step is for you, will you do it?
Yes.
Thank you. The slips are at the back. The pens are there. You can fill it in and put it in the gifts and offerings, because gifts and offerings aren't simply about money, are they? It's offering ourselves. It's offering all of our lives. So no one's going to ask you if you have. No one's going to comment you. No one's going to compare notes. Is your commitment bigger than my commitment? Nothing like that. There's no comparison. But what's God asking you to do to take the next step? We're going to pray in a minute. Did I mention the dedication, and did you see the info on the bring and share? Can we go back to that slide? So next week, because it's the dedication, we're going to have lunch together. Assuming you bring the lunch. No. We're going to have a bring and share. If you'd let Lee know, there's her number. She's serving tea and coffee today. So you'll see her in the kitchen if you get a cup of tea. We want some national dishes. Even chicken gizzards. No, jollof rice. Jollof rice. Amen. Go easy on the chicken gizzards and go easy on the quiche. Quiche is not in the Bible. So we encourage you to bring a dish. We know some of you bring some great national dishes. Let's bring a dish enough that we can share. Let's stay and have lunch together. It's going to be a great service of dedication. We're going to celebrate life, as has been prayed this morning. So see Lee just to confirm, because we don't want to overdose on quiche. We may want some salad, and we may even want a dessert thrown in there, because there's some of us have sweet tooths. So we want to have that mix. So see Lee, come along, stay. Even if you're a guest or a visitor, why not come back and bring something and get to know people and figure out, is this the place God wants you to be? So I want to encourage you, for those of you who are brave enough, to send me an email, send me a message on Signal, send me a text, whatever way, and just say, David, today I said I'd make this step of commitment by. You don't have to, but you know what? It would encourage me. You know what? Pastors need encouragement sometimes. So if you can do that, love you to do that and pray. And those of you online watching, you can email me or email social@newlifecrawley.church, and I'll get that email and just tell me, today I made a step of commitment by. Let's pray, and then I'm ready for a cup of tea. I don't know about you. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge it brings to us, but also the encouragement that we're loved by you, that we belong to you, that you want to do a new work in our life. I pray today that whatever the next step is for us, whether it's the beginning of the journey of saying yes to you, whatever it is, help us to have the courage of our convictions to say yes. In Jesus' name.